Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rainbow Center. We're glad you are here today. Welcome to those of you via the internet. And today we're going to get into the Word of God and find out what the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. Today's message is entitled Speech and Action. Speech and Action. Father, thank you this morning for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, I thank you the very eyes of our understanding being enlightened this day, that we do see, we do hear, we do perceive, and yes, we do understand what you are speaking to us this day. By your Spirit, you will speak to each one of us individually what we need to hear for where we are and where we are moving ahead in. And for that I give thanks and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start this morning, James chapter 1. I'm going to read from the Message. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the Word. Making a salvation garden of your life. I like that. A salvation garden, that's a garden of wholeness. A garden of completeness. A garden that produces lush crop. Verse 22. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Act on what you hear. Verse 23, those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are. Notice the terminology. They look in a mirror and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person, this man or woman of action, that person will find delight and affirmation in the action. That one line in verse number 24, he walks away and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are. You see, what we do seals within us the identity of who we are. What we do seals within us or makes real to us the identity of who we are. You see, I like that. You look in the mirror. We have that mirror on the wall there. When you look in that mirror, who do you see in that mirror? We've taught over and over again, you can see the dirt or you can see the gold. You can see who you're not or you can see who you are. And who are you? You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are His child. You are the apple of His eye. This is who you are. This is who you see in the mirror. That's why we teach people to say things like, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am more than a conqueror. I am His child. I am His son. I am. So if you don't practice doing what you learn, you're going to forget who you are. And you will revert back to seeing the dirt instead of the gold. And instead of seeing, for you ladies, instead of seeing someone who's beautiful, you're going to see someone who's ugly. You have to practice what God's Word says, or you will forget who you are. So what we do seals within us the identity of who we are. It is what we hear ourselves saying and see ourselves doing that makes us believe. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Of course, people that don't study beyond just reading Scripture, they misinterpret that. That's why you need to study things out. The word hear does not mean, oh, I heard something. That's why people do silly things like play preaching tapes 24 hours a day, thinking that's going to build their faith. That's not going to build your faith. That'll help you memorize what the preacher said. If you don't do what you're hearing, there's no faith involved. There is no faith growth. Yes, it's good to listen to things, but then you must apply them to have a benefit from them. Just listening to the Bible on tape, just listening to preachers, will not change your life. If you think it will, you deceive yourself. That is why in North America today, we have so many Christians in churches that are stuck still wearing spiritual diapers. They're like, I'm going to age myself now. They're like in the that song that Amy Grant sang in the early 80s or late 70s. Fat little baby. Just a fat little baby. And you know what that song's all about? It's about people that just keep, give me more word. Most people don't need more word. They need to exercise the word they have. You've got to exercise your faith. Exercise means do something. You can't talk about exercise, and you have to exercise. You can talk about losing weight forever. I'm going to set a workout program. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And you never do it. What happens to you? Nothing changes. Until you do something. It's good to have a plan. But the plan must be executed to have any form of benefit in your life. So it is on a spiritual level. You must execute the plan. Thank God the plan's written for us. God wrote out the plan. All we have to do is execute it. And through our execution of God's plan, something miraculous happens, and it's called believing. It becomes real to us. The only things that become real to you are the things you say, accompanied with the things you do. That's what becomes real. It always starts with saying, and it always finishes with doing. You can't have one without the other, because you believe what you say. You don't believe what I say. And don't tell me you do, because I'll just call you a liar. You believe what you hear yourself saying. I can guide you in what you say, but you got to say it. Because you believe you, and you believe what you see yourself doing. You believe what you hear yourself saying, and you believe what you see yourself doing. So how does our life change? Change what you say and change what you do, and you will be a different person. It is that simple. Bible 101, right there. And it all starts with changing how you think. But today I'm focusing on the external exercise of things. Speech and action. Last Wednesday in our Bible study, we were talking some different things, and I wrote a couple of phrases down that we were looking at on Wednesday because they were just so good. They were really good. People attract what they are, not what they want. What do you attract? You attract your identity. You attract your identity, and your identity is what you believe you are. That's why this is so important. I don't know why I keep attracting the wrong gal. I don't know why I keep attracting the wrong guy. You attract your identity. Change the identity, and the attraction changes. It's that simple. It's that simple. People attract who they are, not what they want. They attract what they love, and they attract what they fear. In other words, you attract what you have faith in. Fear is just faith in darkness. You attract what your faith is in. So, again, how do we change that? Well, we need information that's going to affect our thinking, and we have to practice speaking the answer, speaking the direction you want to go. Remember, your words are the bricks that create the pathway of your future. Your words are the bricks that create the pathway of your future. And then your feet have to walk out that pathway. Thank God for a pathway. Pathway's no good unless you walk on it. That's why I've often said faith is in your feet. Faith is in your hands. You've got to do something with it. You've got to walk out that path. You've got to walk on that road your words created if you want to experience the God kind of life. Without it, I will tell you now, you will not experience a God kind of life. You will experience some delusional mix of self and calling it God. And by the way, we humans are masters at that. And we say silly things like, I have a wonderful relationship with God. Me and God, doing our thing. That is called delusional. Alright? That is called delusional. We don't want to be delusional. Amen? Alrighty. James, let's continue on here. Verse 26, the thought changes a little bit. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, just to keep you on your toes. Verse 26 says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Now, we don't like that word religion, but we have to understand what was meant when this was written. So I'm going to paraphrase this and put it in a terminology that we can better relate to. This is from the Mike translation, okay? The Mike translation is a very good translation. I know the guy that wrote it. He's a nice guy. All right. James 1:26 from the Mike translation. If you claim to be spiritual, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your spirituality is worthless. I'll say it again so you can write it down. If you claim to be spiritual, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your spirituality is worthless. That's why I've said many times, it's not hard to measure where people are at. You see, the Bible says don't judge, but the Bible says measure. Matthew chapter 6 says, don't judge lest you be judged. Matthew chapter 7 says, judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Well, is God double-minded? No, because in the Greek they're two different words, and the English is the same word, judge. Judge can have different meanings. When it says, judge lest not you be judged, it means don't condemn people. Don't push them down. Don't grind them into the dirt. Because what you do to someone else will end up being done to you. You grind people in the dirt, you're going to find your life ground up in the dirt. But the Bible tells us to judge the tree by its fruit, or measure. We are to measure people so we know where they are. Because a tree, in the Bible, a tree is a picture of a person. It's a metaphorical picture of a person. We are the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified, the Bible says. So we are trees. We are the trees. So judge a tree by the fruit it bears. What kind of fruit? Is it full of worms? Is apples full of worms? Is it rotting on the vine? What's going on here? Well, what is the fruit? Galatians chapter 5 says, the fruit you measure on a tree is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is the good fruit. The verse before talks about the bad fruit, and it says a bunch of things that all wind up into one thing. Do it my way. Do it my way is the bad fruit. It's, or let me say, the rotten fruit. The one that's all moldy, full of worms, and it tastes horrible. You see, none of us are supposed to live our life our way. That's what destroys your life. You need to find out how God wants to live his life through you. The scriptures show us basic guidelines, and through those basic guidelines, God individualizes it for you. So we're all on the same road, the road of life, but we all live out that life in different ways according to God's plan. So what's important is we're all on that road of life. And the simplest thing, the simplest measuring stick of whether your life is in Christ or whether your life is in Antichrist, because there only is two lives. There's the life of Christ and the life of Antichrist. What's Antichrist? Everything against. Antichrist means against Christ. Doesn't mean some guy manifesting on the earth and da-da-da-da-da-da and whatever. All little things that we Christians create and write books about are nice. Most of it, from my personal opinion, you can throw in the garbage. Because it deflects people from the truth and gets them caught up in a bunch of external things, which is not going to help their life. And it makes them very religious. Antichrist simply means against Christ. So you are either living in Christ or you're living outside of Christ or against Christ. If you're living in Christ, then you live your life for the purpose of bringing life to others. Your life is not your own, but your life is to bring life to others. If you're living in Antichrist, you're living your life for what you can get for yourself. You know what that means? There's a lot of people in churches living in Antichrist. People say, is the Antichrist in the church today? Of course he is. Always has been. Is the Antichrist in the world today? Of course he is. He always has been. Where? I don't see him. He's in people. And sometimes he's in you. Sometimes he's in me. What do you mean? When I choose to live my life my way, I've chose the life of Antichrist, and that is the rising up of the beast within. How do you conquer the beast? You conquer the beast by submitting your life to God. And that conquers the beast. It's very simple. Very simple. God's given us tools. He's given us a tongue. If you go on in James, I believe it's in James chapter 3, the Bible says that the tongue is like the rudder on a ship. It guides your life where you're going. The rudder guides the ship where it's going. Your tongue is the rudder of your life. If your tongue turns to the left, your life turns to the left. If your tongue turns to the right, your life turns to the right. If your tongue goes straight ahead, your life goes straight ahead. Why? What comes off your tongue? Words. What did we say earlier? Your words are the bricks that pave the road to your future. And your actions, which are in your feet, walk down that path. I will state this. This is a good thing to hear over and over again. We are not to try to change ourselves. That's Christian Mistake 101. I'm going to change myself. Forget it. You can't. You cannot change The only thing you can change is the way you think. And you can choose what you speak and what you're going to do. And then by doing those things, you find your life changing from the inside out. You never change from the outside in. You change from the inside out. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a person thinks within themselves, so are they. You are what you think you are. What you think you are may be true or it may be a lie, but it's true to you. And therefore, that's what you will experience. You see, you don't have to believe. I want to say this. It's the truth you believe that creates who you are. It's the truth you believe. Now, that truth may be a truth, it may not be a truth. But it's the truth you believe that determines who you are. That is why we cannot make it on our own. Because everybody got their own little truth. Everybody's got their own little truth. And they all live out their own little truth, and that's why there's such a big mess. We find out what is God's truth. Allow that to unfold into your life. And again, well, how do I do that? Simple steps. Simple steps. Go into the book. Go into the book. What book? The Bible. Why'd you call it a book? Because the word Bible is the Greek word for book. Just so you know, in the early days it wasn't called the Bible, it was called the book. It's in English we created this term Bible. Because in the Greek the word Bible is Biblia. Sound familiar? I just like to throw those things out because it messes people's heads up. They get so caught up in things. We read the book. We read the book. The book has answers for us. If we apply what the book is saying, if we exercise and use the instructions this book gives us, this Bible gives us, it starts to change how we think. It starts to change how we think. This whole process begins to unfold. The thinking changes. The speech starts to change. And the actions start to change. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a progressive journey. And then one day you realize, wow, I'm changing. I didn't try to change. I just was following God. Like I said earlier, before we started recording here, talking about one of the songs we sang today about the pain may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Nighttime is darkness. Daytime is light or Christ. Nighttime is self. When we're in self, there's pain. When we're in Christ, pain is gone. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, O death, where is thy sting? There's no sting in Christ. Where is the sting? In myself. Where does it hurt? In myself. Anybody ever felt sorry for themselves? Or am I the only person that ever has done that? When you feel sorry for yourself, and Regan, of course, yes. When you feel sorry for yourself, what happens? I hurt. Why? Because I'm focused on me. And I'm focused on me, and I'm focused on, oh, how hard it is for me. Oh, no one's going through what I'm going through. Nobody cares about me. If only people knew what I was going through. And therefore, I hurt. You know how you fix that? Go help somebody. Go do something for somebody else. Quit thinking about you. And because you listen, you cannot just change your thinking. That self thought patterns is so powerful that you've got to break it by speaking and doing something different. When I gave my life to Christ in 1981, all day long, Ozzy sang in my head. Okay? If you don't know who Ozzy is, don't worry about it. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Why was Ozzy in your head all the time? Because I listened to him all the time on what was called records. Okay? Those were plastic discs that music came off of. And I had what was called an LP, which was an acronym for long play. All right? Turned 33 revolutions per minute on a turntable, which some folks called a record player. Anyways, now you've got some history here today. And so because of what I fed myself and fed my mind, Ozzy sang all day long in my mind. And I tried to unthink Ozzy being there. You know what? It didn't work. You know how I got over Ozzy? I had to say something different. So I sang out loud. Because music or songs are just words in a rhythm. I can say, "How are you today?" Or I can say, "How are you today?" You know, it's saying the same thing, right? Why do we sing songs before we go into this part of the service? The reason we sing songs is because I'm tricking you and I'm getting you to say things so you can hear yourself. See? We tricked you. You didn't even know it. We sing songs to get you to speak life over yourself and get you to speak life. You know, we don't. If you haven't, you noticed the songs we sing here are songs that will build you up. Songs that speak positive things about you and others. And without you realizing, we get you singing those songs. And I always tell people, sing so you can hear yourself sing. It doesn't matter whether you're in tune or not. Because really what singing really is, I'm getting you to make confessions and speak over your life. What a trickster, eh? And by saying those things, you, without realizing it, are directing your life towards God in what we call praise and worship. It's a tool to get your mind focused on God because your tongue steers your ship. So if I can get you singing, saying positive things, you're going to turn towards God, and then you're ready when I bring a teaching, bring instructions, you can receive it. That's why we do that. Because for some people, the only life they speak over themselves is what they sing. But that's why we give you homework. And say, go home and talk to your mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? I am. Those are the words. I am. Hello, mirror. How you doing today, mirror? So I want to tell you some things, mirror. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, mirror, did you know this? I am more than a conqueror. Hey, mirror, I bet you didn't know that I am the apple of God's eye. Having a chat with your mirror. It's no different than singing. Except with the mirror, you get to see something. That is why your daily exercise or homework is to speak to the mirror. Speak to the mirror. Because when you speak to the mirror, you're speaking to yourself. And you are changing who you are by what you speak and what you hear yourself saying. And when you do it in the mirror, it incorporates also a doing, because you're saying this to yourself. It's putting things in. And then identity gets walked out. Because this is who I am, I find I'm not doing certain things like I used to, or I'm doing different things than I did before because I'm a different person. Because I am a different person. Speech and action. Speech and action. Simple tools that God gives us, but powerful tools. And make such a powerful difference in our lives. I'm going to wind it down there, and we're going to go into a discussion. Those of you on the internet, you don't get to be in the discussion. Sorry. That's life. It's the way it is. But be of good cheer. Go talk to your mirror. And tell your mirror what it needs to hear. Speak life to your mirror. And your mirror will speak life to you. So, Father, I thank you today. And I thank you that we have heard what we've needed to hear. I thank you that change is taking place within us right now. Father, I thank you that by the hearing of our ears, there are things that are penetrating into our spirit. And there's a process going on within us. I thank you we are a different person than we were who we were half hour ago. Change is continuing, and for that we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.